Hi everyone, Kareem Ray here, and today I have Ashkenav Apollon on with us. Ashkenav, how's it going?
Great, man. How are you doing, Kareem?
Good. Again, I'm glad to have you on today. How's your day going?
Pretty good so far. Just a little sore this morning. You know, I had a great training session last night and then this morning as well. So just like getting ready to continue with the day and trying to recover.
You're in the off season right now, right? So what do you do to stay fit? Are you training with another team or academy? Like, what do you do to stay fit?
Yeah, so currently I train with, so I'm in Fresno, California. There's a group of guys we have like during the off season that are from here, a lot of pros, a lot of like Division I college kids. We train with Blanco Elite. It's this guy, Menton Blanco. He has like a training academy, and then he used to be a pro as well. So he puts it together. So we always train and stay fit. So sometimes we get 15 to 20 guys and have like normal training session as if we're a team, you know, so it helps a lot. Yeah.
Can you also introduce yourself to the viewers, please?
Yeah. So my name is Ashkenav Apollon. I am 30 years of age, even if I don't look it, but, I was born in Boston. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and currently playing for Hartford Athletic and also the Hayden national team. So,
right. So can you, you know, just take us back in time and how did you get introduced to the beautiful game?
Oh man, it's crazy. So when I was growing up in the States, I didn't play at all. And it's not till I went back to, you know, the motherland where my father's from, to Haiti. And then it was inevitable, you know, it's the number one passion. All the kids you see, they were soccer balls or you'd never see an empty field. Regardless of the quality of the field, it's always packed and people trying to play. So I think that's when it really started for me, when I visited Haiti. Way back in 2004, I believe. That's when it really started.
Nice. Can you just show us the jersey that you got on right there? That's the Haiti national team right there.
Yep.
So
yes, sir.
We're gonna get to that, but so you know, you got back home, you started playing in Haiti, and you know, just for the viewers that haven't been to Haiti, can you just paint the picture a little bit? Has it changed ever since? I know people might have heard of Haiti, but you know, is it the same or has things changed?
Yeah. So it's a mixed feelings, right? It's like sad and beautiful at the same time. So there's a lot of things that you see and a lot of things that are true, a lot of things you see in the media. And it's unfortunate because, yes, there is poverty in Haiti. And unfortunately, like the political system, and I don't want to get into that, but it's just not very good. There's a lot of corruption and a lot of things happening throughout history, because it was still is this beautiful island, you know, that was very prosperous. And then so many things happen and it just crumbles down and it gets to the state that it's in right now, unfortunately. But when you are there and you know where to be, it's extremely beautiful, you know what I mean? So a lot of things you see, like the insecurity and things like that, is true. But for a while, I didn't go back, like for 12 years, I believe. Even my parents, they didn't really want me to go back. But then when I got called up for the national team, like it's like it was like a must, you know, had to. And then when I got there, I saw like every beautiful thing that I can possibly see to remind me how special that land is, and also reminded of, oh my God, like, it could be so much better and how many bad things are actually happening, you know, so.
Got it. That's amazing. That's amazing that you got a chance to see the beautiful side of Haiti.
So yeah, of course.
The question is, how did you go pro?
Okay, so I went to school in Washington, and I was in school in Portland before. I was going to the University of Portland, and then there was no soccer team there, right? So when I came back from Haiti after high school, I was like, you know, that's the passion. I fell in love with it. You know, I got pretty good. So that's what I want to pursue. That's what I want to do. So with that being said, I tried to make sure when I come back to the States, that's what I'm going to do. and stuff. Unfortunately, when I got into school in Portland, that team, like I said, did not have a soccer team or anything like that. So I was like still looking like what's the soccer system like here? Because when I was here before, I didn't know. I didn't really do anything regarding soccer. So luckily, I found some people randomly at the grocery store. They had like tracksuits on, and I asked them like, what's going on? Like, who are you guys from? And they said, oh yeah, we're from this college, and we're here meeting some parents with a kid. We're trying to recruit them. And they're like, do you play? And I was with a friend at the time because I was playing for the Timbers U23. And the friend, he's an older guy, and he's like, can he play? He's like, you better invite him right now. So they gave me their cards. They invited me to the school. The school was called Peninsula College. It was in college up in Washington. And then I went there for his visit and training and stuff like that. And then from the first day, they were super impressed. And then that's why I kind of started like collegiately. Then I was supposed to be recruited by UW, a bunch of universities, a D1, you know. And since my clock had already started, because I had already gone 2.5 years in Portland and stuff like that. So it's like I decided to go pro. And it happened for me in Thailand, because while I was in Portland, I had met a guy, Obatola Gabriel. He was playing for the Portland Timbers first team at the time. And he was playing in Asia for a while. So he told me, hey, come, if you don't want to stay in the U.S., come, you know, I'll hook you up with my agent and we can help you sign. And we ended up signing in the first team, on the same team in Thailand. So that was like my first pro experience, probably one of my best ones so far. So, yeah, that's how it started, man.
that's amazing. Usually, when I do these interviews, I hear that players have went to college or university and they were playing during their years, but you had
that's a cool experience.
That makes it a bit harder, but it was unique how you came across these people that played, right? Like you were so hungry for that. This opportunity was created, and then boom. So you got to Thailand. You know, explain the transition, right? Because you're living in the States. Thailand's a different system itself.
Different system, yeah.
So how were you able to adapt to their system?
So first thing is like the culture shock, you know. It's like, whew, it's completely different, you know. But it's the Thai people are amazing, like one of the nicest and kindest people you'll ever meet. So when I got there, like, yeah, there was a culture shock, but I was there for a reason, you know. Football, I'd say it's one language, you know, regardless of where you are. So I was just super excited. And when I got there, like, they welcomed me very well. And with the help of, you know, my friend who made me come, his agent and the people around, I was like, I had a very good entourage. So, it was really easy for me. It's just that there's a big difference now. Now, if I'm in the States, okay, I'm an American citizen, whatever, it's different. But when I transition and I go overseas into Thailand, it's completely different. Why? Because now I'm considered a foreigner. And I am taking a foreign spot. So like kind of expectations are like, ooh, a lot higher. And mostly too, as a foreigner, you get paid like a lot more than the local players. So it's like, it was kind of here, how you'd say DP or whatever. So yeah, it was completely different, you know. But I think it was good for me because I got to experience that right off the bat, you know, like where it's like super serious, super important, every game matters. So yeah.
That's amazing. You got that experience. That shows how good of a player you are. Like that, to my understanding, from how I understand the system, that shows me at least. I'm not too sure for the viewers if they'll get that, but guys, this guy's a quality player right here. So boom, Thailand.
Yep.
You're taking a foreign spot. I know there's a limited amount of foreign spots.
Yeah. But
one hand.
Yeah. No, it's like, yeah, it's actually four. No, three. So it's three. The team can have five foreigners, but three can be outside of Asian countries, and the rest, the two other two, has to be from an Asian country, whether it's Japan, China, or like Vietnam, or anything like that. So you can actually, for me, who is a foreigner, not Asian, it had to be only three. So it's a lot harder.
Got it. That's why I was saying it. You being a quality player, I understand that. And not only that, but you know, you have 20 guys, 20 positions to have means 20 opportunities, but you only, there's only
two positions. Exactly.
Which makes it even harder. That's like
a goalkeeper
is trying to get the position, right?
Yeah, it makes it harder. That's why they don't really sign foreign goalkeepers, because they go for that middle line, like center back, midfielder, striker.
That's amazing. Yeah. What position do you play?
I played striker and winger, like my whole life. It's not until recently I started playing left back, and been enjoying it as well. So
I'm assuming here, when you went for the tryouts, you're busting the net up. You're scoring goals like
this. Yeah, scoring goals. I scored so many goals over there. Yeah, it was definitely fun. That's one of the things I miss and kind of trying to implement in my game right now. It's like, as an outside back, to go forward like a lot, because that's like the strength of my game, and try to like get in the back of the net and get goals and stuff like that. So yeah.
Hey, you've done it before. You just got to tap back.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get into the nitty-gritty details here, right here, because I know this is a nice, clean transaction, especially because sometimes players don't get this help, but you got that assistant. Mm-hmm. You're overseas, Thailand, you have an agent, you're a player that's going to the same team, and you had to do the immigration, right? So
yeah.
You know, sometimes in these scenarios, players have to do it by themselves, but here you had the club was invested in you. So for the immigration side, did the lawyer help you? I mean, did the agent help you, or did the club help you with the immigration?
Not necessarily. So they were already used to signing foreigners. So the system is pretty easy. They have an actual agent that works for them, like an immigration agent. So they just call them up. Hey, we just signed this player. Here's the paperwork, blah, blah, blah. And then they just give me like an appointment, and I just go, and then like they set up my paperwork. And as an American citizen, it's pretty easy to get like your work permit there, so it's not really that hard, you know. So the club pays for it, and it's like, yeah, it's pretty fast.
Okay, good. It sounded like a disciplined transaction.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. How was the feeling like of signing your first pro contract?
It was surreal. It was surreal, yeah. So I believed it could happen, because throughout the years, like, I started playing late, but in a short amount of time, I improved so much. And it's like, it just showed me that, like, kind of, I had it in me, you know? It was just a matter of time. So when it happened, I was super, super excited. And, you know, words can't really explain, because it's so different. It's like so many things put into one, right? So I'm away from my country. How do you call it? Completely in a different continent. I'm like seeing completely different new things and getting paid to do something I love. So it was just surreal, you know. Yeah.
Massive. What about your family? You know, were they excited?
Yeah, they were excited for me. They always say they're always so far, because the time difference, you know, it's like 16 hour difference. So keeping up with some people, sometimes even friends or family, sometimes it was harder because of the time difference. Sometimes when I'm like, it's like midnight for me or 11 p.m. and over there, it's like, oh, their day's barely starting. So it's like, it's different. I'm like, I have to go to sleep, and they're like, oh, we're just waking up. So, I had the support of my entire family, and they loved it. And especially they get to watch my games live, and it was cool.
What things changed once you signed pro?
What
say things, that again? What things changed once you signed pro?
Had a lot more money. That's it. Definitely had a lot more money. And then, yeah, it's just, I don't know, the stature changed. You were no longer amateur, and you have that sense of, you know, kind of pride, that kind of increase in a way, you know, because you're working hard. And when you finally sign that pro contract, it feels different, you know? It's definitely different.
Got it. What tips can you share to the viewers that want to go pro? What would you share? Or to paint a better picture, what advice would you give to yourself, to the younger version of yourself that's still wanting to go pro? What would you say? Hey, like, you got to do these three things, and it'll give you a better chance to go pro.
Oh my God, that is so simple. All right, you have to believe, you have to have discipline, and you have to be humble. Those are the three things that throughout the years that I've learned. So even now, still, I keep working on myself to perfect those things. So it's not like necessarily easy to do all that, because you get to a certain point, you reach a goal, you have to find a bigger goal, right? And as you go through those obstacles and you reach your goals, some people, they lose it, they get cocky, or, well, cocky is not, that's not really the problem, but they get, they don't have any respect for anybody else. They just think they're everything. So throughout that whole process, you kind of have to stay humble and make sure, regardless of the stages that you go through, you have to keep working even harder. Like right now, like I'm 30, and sometimes I'm in training and I'm with some younger kids, and I'm like, do not let me beat you. Like, you're a young kid, like you're 20, you're 22. Do not let me beat you, you know? So it's just that, really. Stay humble, work hard, and believe.
Got it. And you're 30 right now. When did you sign your first pro contract? Because I remember you saying that you kind of signed late.
Yeah, so I started playing when I was almost 17. So that was super late. Yeah. So it was 16 and a half.
You started playing at 17?
16 and a half. Yep.
And what age did you sign pro?
Late bloomer. It was, I was like 23, I believe. 23. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm just grateful, man, because it's not easy. I know it's not easy, and a lot of people, I mean, they're like, oh my god, you know how many people play for their entire lives and then don't get to that level that you're at. So,
for real.
Yeah, I don't take it for granted. I'm just grateful, and I God has given me the talent, and I try to use it in the best way possible. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So you're back in the States now, right?
Yeah, but I played in Thailand, then I went to Vietnam, then I went to Germany, and then I played in France as well, and then finally decided to come back to state, play for Sacramento for a bit, and then now with Hartford. So yeah.
Got it. I've been to France, England, and the state, but those other countries that you just named, Germany, Vietnam, you know, which one was your favorite?
So Thailand and Vietnam were my favorite experiences, let's say, just because of the culture difference, right? The cultural difference. And just being in Asia was just super excited. But football-wise, I think I learned, like, a lot when I was in, like, in France and stuff. You know, the level is just, like, fast-paced, which, like, kind of fits me because, you know, like, I'm pretty fast and stuff. And I learned a lot tactically as well. I think I grew a lot as a player there. Still, as a foreigner, of course. But, yeah, I already spoke French and stuff, so it's, like, it wasn't hard for me at all. But yeah, I think if I'd rank them, I'd say for the experience in general, Thailand and Vietnam were the best. And then for like football wise and growth, I'd say France.
Do you speak any other languages?
Yeah, English, French, Spanish, Creole, and Thai. So yeah.
This guy! That's amazing, man. All right. Okay, so there wasn't really no language barriers in these countries.
Not really, yeah.
Only in Germany, right?
Yeah, only in Germany, but yeah. Most people in Germany speak English, so it was good.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, which is one of the languages I plan on learning pretty soon. Yeah.
So what league are you playing right now in the States?
USL Championship.
USL Championship, nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're obviously used to playing in front of thousands and thousands of fans, so let's just tackle a little bit of the game side, just a little bit. You know, how hard is it to play in front of thousands and thousands of fans?
Ooh, I'd say if you're not used to it, it definitely affects you. So there's an important side of the game, which is the mental side, right? So it mostly affects the mental side. And when your mental side is affected, it affects you physically as well, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference being out of field playing in front of, I don't know, 100, 200 people, and another experience playing in front of 30,000 people, you know, or 10,000 and above. So it's like completely different. So for me, what I feel is that throughout the years, like it doesn't matter for me anymore because I'm used to it, right? Like, and I quite enjoy it. Like when there's a lot of people, you know, you feel the vibration of the stadium, whether you're home or away. But yeah, it's definitely plays a part if you're not used to it. It's something to get used to, I'd just say. Yeah, for sure.
Do you have, this is something I just came up with right now. Do you have any like any secrets or any tips? You know, you just mentioned vibration, energy. Are you into spirituality or Is there anything that you do off the pitch that really helps you mentally, or, you know, anything unique like that?
Yeah. So for me, in the earlier stages of my career, I would get stressed a lot. Like, I'd get stressed, but then once it comes to game time, I didn't really know how to manage the stress before a game, right? So throughout the years, I've been implementing like routine with like playing my favorite music and stuff, and kind of helps me, you know, kind of stay grounded and calm. You know, once I get into locker room, I get excited. Like, I'm not one that says, you know, kind of meditating and focused. I can't do that. I have to like let my personality out, like be happy and playful and stuff like that. That's how, you know, I can approach the game with the best, like in the best way possible. So for me, that's what works. For other people, it may not be. Does that make sense? So just listen to my music, dance a little bit. It gets me in the mood, and therefore I can go in the field and enjoy myself. So
got it. Last two questions here. How important is it to keep a healthy body and mind?
Well, I mentioned earlier, like, the mind is important, but obviously you have to stay physically ready and physically fit. So it's a physical game to play soccer, whether it's professionally or whatever. So physically you have to be ready, but when you're also ready physically, it helps you mentally. So they go together. You can't have one or the other. You might be physically fit, but if mentally you're not there, then it's, you know. And if mentally you're there and physically you're not there, it doesn't work either. So you have to have both.
Absolutely. Last question. What's your most memorable soccer
moment? It's right off the bat, my first game for the Haiti national team. And like I mentioned, and you learned earlier, I started playing very late. So to not only start playing that late, get a chance to play professionally, and get a chance to play for represent national team, it's like surreal. I got my first call up at 29. So, like, most people would think like it's over and some at that time, but no, it's not. So for me, when I got that first call up, and it was for the World Cup qualifiers, and I played the first game in Haiti against Belize, we won that game 2-0. I started that game. So like when the national anthem was playing, I lost it. Like, I had to like really like gather myself to be able to play that game, because emotionally it just meant so much for me, and it was just unbelievable, you know. So yeah, for sure, my first game for Haiti was my best moment.
Nice. Most and surprised you're wearing the Haiti jersey, right?
Yes, sir.
Championship jersey, but that's what's up, national team it is. And you're giving me hope. I'm like 21. I've been playing for like 15, 16 years. That's why when I heard you say 16, yeah, I'm like, holy fuck, this is unique. And not only that, but, you know, everyone's pathway to pro is different, completely different. There's no one way. That's why we do this. And that's why I love
it. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I enjoyed my journey. And this is what I have, and you have what you have. And I'd say if I could only change one thing, obviously I will not, it would not be, how do you say it? I don't regret any of the things I've done or decision I made, but if I were like talking to my younger self and I were to do it over again, I would have gone directly to Europe, right? At a younger age, of course, because even now there's some teams in Europe that like me, interested, but you know, the interest is kind of different because they're looking for players that are like way younger, you know, and I'm already in my 30s. So I can still play at a good level, but not a lot of teams, like especially in the top leagues in Europe, that will invest in me for like, because they invest for kind of a longer period of time, a few years, and seeing the margin of progression development and can resell you. So that's just the only thing right now. So I probably would have gone to France when I was, I don't know, 20, and it probably could have gone a different way. But yeah, I keep enjoying it and try to make the best out of what I have. So.
Facts. And as mentioned before, you're giving me hope. You signed at 23, so I got two more years. I'm 20. Well, actually, I'm turning 22 this year, so I got one more year. And then you got
time. Yeah,
I guess
you got time. It's all possible, man. It's work, and if you have the talent, and whether you have the talent or not, but you can, you know, develop so many things by training and having, you know, consistency. That's just key, man. So
facts.
I wish you good luck on that, and always believe, man. That's all.
Yeah, thank you. And you signed 29 for the played at 29 national team. So you're giving me hope, you're inspiring me. So I know players that will be watching this will be inspired as well. So last questions, it's speed questions. They're all favorites. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be it. So they're just five speed questions. You got to answer them quick. So who's your favorite team?
Barcelona.
Favorite player?
Lionel Messi.
Favorite cleats?
Mercurials.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Your food?
It's a Haitian dish called DSL Spy. It's like rice and beans.
Nice. Yeah. Last one, favorite artist?
Woo! My God. That's a tough one because I have so many. There's a Haitian one I like. It's actually a Haitian band. It's called Class because I love Caribbean music. And then I really like Drake. So.
Yes, sir. It's 666. All right. So, Ashkenov. I pronounced that right, Ashkenov?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Before we go, I just want to thank you for joining us on the One Soccer Nation podcast today.
Awesome. I appreciate you inviting me, and peace out.